Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Anthony Nash joins us in studio ahead of the AIB GAA All-Ireland Intermediate Hurling Club Championship Final, which he's involved in. It takes place at Croke Park this Sunday, February 4th, for exclusive content and behind-the-scenes action throughout the AIB GAA and Camogie Club Championships. You can follow AIB GAA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and Snapchat. You'll also, from this morning, catch Di Regan and David Brady on OTB AM talking hurling and football. But Anthony is here in studio now. Fighting on two fronts. You've got, obviously, Cork up and running after that win over Kilkenny in the league at the weekend. And then your club, Kanturk, is in that All-Ireland Intermediate Final against Ballyragget. So there was a bit of a fuss over the past week when it seemed that you were going to play in your club semi-final on Saturday at St Conleth Park in Kildare and then rush home to Cork to start against Kilkenny in Páirc Uí. But in the end, it seems between yourself and John Myler, it was decided that you would just play for Kanturk.
Yeah, basically, I suppose a lot been spoken about it over the few days when the teams were named and stuff like that. I suppose a lot of there was negative press given to John and the management team about it, asking me to come down. And like the one thing was, they didn't ask me. I actually put myself forward to do it.
Right.
I suppose being fortunate enough to be a goalkeeper, I felt that I was able to do both games. I spoke to Kanturk, and they were willing to allow me, and they were very, very helpful towards that. And I said it to John that I was available, because unfortunately the weekend before our Kanturk match had been postponed due to weather. So
that's the reason all happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I said to John and the management, look, I'd love to be involved. It was Kilkenny Under Lights, Páirc Uí. First league game of the year in front of 16,000 supporters. So, you know, the thing about it is, you know, I was kind of asked about it, why did I want to do it? And I was saying, look, that I just wanted to play. There was no other reason behind it.
Why wouldn't you want to do it?
You know, if I wasn't going to put myself in a position where I was able to help either team, if I was going to take my mind off the Kanturk game or anything like that, I wouldn't have done it. But, I was fully, you know, ready for Kanturk. And then I just wanted to go and play in the game. And, you know, there's no other, you know, thoughts behind it or anything like that. I just would love to have. It was a fantastic occasion.
Yeah,
you know, my first competitive game in Páirc Uí under lights in front of the crowd, and you know, against, as I said, Kilkenny and stuff. So I was just wanting to play, really. You know,
yeah.
Maybe that's the innocence of it all.
Physically, I presume there's no issue for you to play two games in one day.
Not really. Look, I suppose there would be kind of, you'd have to stretch a little bit more for the second game. Just a lot of puck outs and things like that. But like Patrick Horgan's always slagging me. Like he said, if I played Saturday night, I was never going to hear the end of it, because if a goalie's able to play two games, it just shows you do nothing. But look, I don't know, would have been the right or wrong thing, only time would have told. The management basically just made a fair decision and just said, look, go and concentrate in Kanturk. They were very fair to me, and you know, they put no pressure on any of the three lads from Kanturk to go to training or anything like that. So and no, they don't have a gun to my head at the moment to say that or anything, but that's honestly it. And they're very, very open to it, and they've wished us the best of luck with Kanturk and given us as much time off as we need. So like, to hear the little bit of negative press that I heard about the management team was very unfair on their behalf, you know.
Okay. It seems like it's been an amazing season for Kanturk, and now there's an All-Ireland Intermediate Final against Ballyragget, who've had a big year themselves over the last few months, and that's this Sunday in Croke Park.
Yeah, Sunday. So I suppose a gentleman said to me yesterday, he said, look, the last person out of Kanturk, turn off the lights. You know, it's going to be huge for the parish and for the area. And I suppose a lot of people from around Duhallow and Cork might hopefully come up and travel. Like Cork playing Wexford at the same time, Wexford Park, so that might take a few away. But it's a huge day for us. It's something like, I started playing hurling with Kanturk in 2001 or two, and we were junior.
Right.
So to be first of all to go senior is you know, a massive achievement from where we're from. And
will this be your first year going senior?
Absolutely, yeah. First team from even our division to go senior, like in Duhallow, which would be kind of considered to be a footballing area.
Right.
So that was a huge achievement first day, and then to kind of, we decided to see, we take every game as it came. And Sunday now we're getting to play in Croke Park, which is probably something that some of our players will never experience again, or you know, would thought they ever have or would have. But the biggest thing for me is that there's people in the club that coached us under 10s, under 12s, all the way up. They're going to be able to come up and sit in Croke Park and support the Kanturk team. So
yeah,
I think it's more for them than us. You know, there's a few of us have, fortunate enough, have experience of playing in Croke Park, but with your club is going to be different. It'll be different nerves and, you know, different kind of a feeling to it. But look, it's an unbelievable occasion, and just to kind of just keep it in focus, I suppose, for the players, and let everyone else enjoy it.
Mm.
And then hopefully we'll get to enjoy it after if we put in a good solid performance.
Yeah, all the cliches that you throw out about club football, they're kind of true, you know.
Yeah.
It is about playing with your mate that you've known all your life, and his parents and your parents and everyone in the crowd.
Definitely. Like, you know, I've grown up watching these lads. Like, as I said, I started playing junior hurling when I was 16. You know, I actually had played junior football the previous year at 15. So it was kind of like, it was just, you know, pure club thing, like, you know, that you're just getting thrown in with the lads, and, you know, some of those lads that I would have played with have now become management, you know, and things like that. So it's just a passover of generations, you know, and like a lot of the lads I would have watched growing up, I would have obviously kept a close eye on the two McLaughlins, John and Lurkhan and Aidan, because, you know, they were showing so much potential and stuff like that, like, and, you know, they've gone on to represent Cork, and then to be able to say I was going to play with them then as well, which is great. So, like, it is a really kind of a club thing, and I'm playing with some of my best friends that I've grown up with, like, you know. So it's class, it's great. You get to play with them in league games at home and championship matches at home, but to be able to say you stepped out in Croke Park with them as well, and even some of your best friends again that are in the stands, you know, really shouting you on, even though they would be doing it so for Cork as well. But, you know, it's a different thing, even though it'll be a smaller thing and there won't be, what, 1/10 of the crowd or 1/8 of the crowd maybe or whatever like that, it's still going to be, you know, a very, very special occasion.
Yeah, I can imagine. So over the last number of weeks then, have you been training with Cork and Kanturk?
Yeah, been trying to get in both, basically. It's probably a lot more beneficial to me than Lurkhan and Darren, Darren Brown and Lurkhan are on our Cork panel as well, because I get, like, goalkeeper-specific training above in Corkton as well with Breen Hurley, like, you know. And, like, ever since I've made the Cork panel, Kanturk have been very, very helpful, you know, throughout my whole career. And if I need to go to Cork, they know I'm making a decision for their behalf as well, that I'm coming back, please God, a better player. So I've been trying to strike a balance between the two, played a few Cork games and everything like that, and Kanturk haven't had an issue. They were just, look, if we ever felt that there was a clash of a night, and, you know, Cork were always, you know, willing to let us go to Kanturk and stuff. So
were they,
Yeah, I know, very, like, it is difficult. It's very difficult because you're trying to get ready for the league as well. And, like, the one thing about it is, like, you know, maybe it's perceived out there, as said, that John kind of pulled us in. Like, he's never once, you know, he's always said, look, go in, win the All-Ireland if you can, and that's it, simple as that. So he knows we're playing hurling away at a high level anyway, you know. And
so the two outfield lads, are they juggling both as well?
Not as much as I would be. I'd probably be a little bit more with Cork than the lads would be, because I suppose it's a little bit, like, you know, as I said, to get goalkeeper specific training, I'd be better off up in Cork, you know.
So they're more with the club?
Bits and pieces. Like, we try and, I'd say, no, it's only been maybe 3 or 4 extra sessions I've been with Cork that the lads have. It's not as if
huge
they've been
difference.
With. Exactly. Plus our management team with, like, Jim McCarthy, Tom Walsh, Dunedwan and Padraig Kearns with Kanturk, they all know that if the lads go to Cork, they're coming back after training at a high level. So once we just the last thing they always say is don't get injured.
Please God, don't. That's the only way in this unbelievably congested, complicated, dual player, club player, county player, I was going to say mess, that's too strong a word, but certainly concoction that we have for ourselves. The only way that works until we sort it out properly at, you know, executive level and replan the whole year is if there's common sense and if there's managers who will talk to other managers and want what's best for the player. Otherwise, especially if you were a younger lad coming through, you're in a dreadful position.
Oh, definitely. Look, it's a very common theme, you know, to talk about this, like, and stuff. But, and, like, I can see, like, it's going to be, it'll take incredible work to sort this out. You know, like, since I finished with Cork last year and I was involved with Kanturk, you kind of see the other side of it completely, like, and you understand it, you know, the frustration of the club players. But, like, you know, it's like they're trying to split the two, the inter-county players and the club players. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we're inter-county players are trying to fit in both as much as we can. And, like, we'd love to see this resolved in any way possible. The one thing I'm going to see as a difficulty is April, you know, the way that they've, like, most counties are out 2 weeks after, and if they're asking players to stay away from their county team in the month of April,
it's not going to happen.
Then I'd find it very unfair on the county player, you know. And again, it's not to split the club player into it. It's just that, like, you're training with your county since whenever you started back, and next thing, all of a sudden, they're going to say to you, listen, don't go near your county team in April, but come back to us in May and go out in front of 80,000, 60,000 people and perform at your best. You know, it's very difficult because some of those players are going back to play football with their club. It's not that they're going back to play hurling, and vice versa. If you're a footballer, you might go back playing hurling with your club. So that's tough. So, like, I think the way it has been working over the last years, and I can only speak about Cork, has been very fair that, like, the clubs would get 2 weeks beforehand, maybe a week depending on the sport or something like that. But we are always coming back in a good position. But I'm very fortunate to say Kanturk are very supportive. I can understand the frustrations of a lot of teams, but the whole month of April to be off and inexpected to go out and perform a championship in May is going to be a tough one. Now, if it works, brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm all for improving the game, improving player welfare, you know, which is a huge topic at the moment. But, like, as you said, they're common sense, and, you know, the players know best. It is difficult for a 19-year-old, 20-year-old trying to break into the senior panel. They're going to try and do everything they can to get onto that team.
Yeah.
And I suppose being a more senior person than that, maybe I can kind of see the balance a little bit better. But I would say that it is going to be very difficult, especially in the first year or two.
Yeah. I noticed you beat Middletown Athena from Armagh the weekend just gone. You scored a penalty. What is the Anthony Nash penalty at this stage? Your face says, good God, don't ask me about this.
Yeah, look, I suppose the penalty thing has kind of...
There's a rule named after you, for the love of God.
Jesus, I don't know. Look,
I suppose the big thing is, at least it was dealt with and there was a line drawn underneath it eventually, because it kind of, when it was happening, I suppose everyone was kind of mentioning it. But
for non-GA fans, casual fans maybe listening, about 3-4 years ago, is it that long ago now when this all blew up?
14, yeah.
14. Okay, but yeah. About 2014. Yeah. You, I mean, it always struck me as a perfectly common sense idea. You would scoop the slitter and take it in as close to goal as you could before you'd strike it, and there wasn't much anyone could do about it. It wasn't like someone could come in and tackle you.
Jesus, I missed a lot of them, so I said I did a lot about it. I wouldn't get to make it anymore anyway, my legs, but
would you not? And so there was a big hullabaloo. Keeper started charging out at you. The whole thing became a mess, and ultimately we got to a point where you couldn't take it in a certain point anymore, and then it was 1-on-1 penalties, and so that was all your fault.
Thanks. Yeah, I suppose like there was actually a kind of a committee put together in, I think, at the end of, I don't know, was it 14 or something like that, and they just decided that they go to 1-on-1, you can't pass the 21-yard line. So I still think it's in the process of getting used to it. I think they're happy enough with the way it's going at the moment. Jesus, the one I struck at the weekend, I wouldn't say it was the best I've ever hit. Right. Unfortunately enough, it went in. I'm still just trying to get used to it myself. I don't take him for Cork, Patrick Horgan, so I don't practice him that much, but I started taking him for the club, and it was actually gas. I think we had a challenge match against CIT over Christmas with Kenturk, and I got 2 in 1 game, and they were the first ones I've taken in about 2 years, right. You know, in a game. Like, so it's just, we haven't had them to take, so, and we got one the last day in against Nafina, so I was fortunate enough that I had the 2 to practice on. But look, it's just, I stated back then, like I just said, the first thing I said was that if it's to improve the game of hurling, I'm happy to do so. I was obviously, you know, disappointed because I felt it was a part of, I didn't feel I was breaking the rules in any way. But once it was dealt with and put to bed, we just had to kind of come along. And fortunately with Cork, we've Patrick Horgan, who doesn't matter what kind of a rule it is, he's very good at them. So just trying to get used to it again. And of course, I have to get used to it on the other side of it then as well, because you're now on the goal line on your own. So just trying to come up with, always trying to learn, like, you know, you hear of fellas with longer hurleys for penalties and things like that to try it out, and you're just always trying to, you know, just learn what's the best way to try and save them then as well.
Being on the other side of them then, pick a corner to dive, do you wait to react? What is your technique? You can't tell me. You're like, I'm not telling you.
Look,
what are the
options
to go?
The only is you don't have two fellas either side of you to blame if it goes in anymore. Yeah. No, it's on you.
Is it worthwhile thinking about diving? Like, or would you dive?
I'm still learning, and I'm not joking. I still don't know what's the best thing to do. Like, I suppose it depends on the striker. If a fella has a very hard strike, like, and you don't guess, maybe it's already past you. If you think a fella's going to be good at placing it, you might get a chance to get there. It really depends. I don't have a method, really. I just try and maybe just stand up, see maybe, just maybe hazard a guess at times, you know, that's really it sometimes. Yeah. Like, I know when Patrick takes him to me in training, unless I guess, I'm getting nowhere near him. And if I guess, it's probably hitting me if I'm saving it, because like, he hits a sort of force. So it really does depend on the occasion, the weather, the whole lot, because it's 21 yards out, even though I might be saying, no, you should save him, is a bit out, you know. But then again, like, when it's a free puck and a fella's hurling so good, you know, like, their skills are so good nowadays, they can put into the top corner, like, and whether you guess or whether you have a 42-inch early or a step ladder to get up, so you're not getting there. You know? So it's I wouldn't say it's similar to soccer in a way, because I think you have to probably guess in soccer. I'm still learning. I really am, because it's just like before, you would have kind of had a centre area of the goal to cover on your two cornerbacks, and hopefully have the bravery.
You'd look
and
after yourself.
To look after. Yeah. If it went in, you'd have turned and look at them. So no, it's just still learning.
How easy or otherwise is it to read a strike? As I mean, you, in football, you can see body shape and a goalkeeper guesses. And David Seaman very famously said, "Whatever way their planted foot is pointing is the way they're going." Ultimately, that was what David Seaman would do. I don't know how much you want to give away here, but what are the cues you look at when a penalty taker has scooped the slitter?
Do you know, it happens so quickly, you don't have much time to think of that. Like, you know, a soccer ball is probably travelling, even though it's a closer distance, probably travelling a little bit slower.
Yeah.
With a slitter, if you're looking at feet, the ball's in the back of the net by the time you're finished. So, like, you know, you still always try and, you know, pick things. I haven't saved that many. I think I've only saved one, I think, or something since they came in. So I can't say that I have any, you know,
you've mastered
science
it.
Or anything like that. Like, but it really does depend on the calibre of the player, the calibre of the strike. Like, look, there's some fellas out there that have such a powerful strike that maybe you just have to guess, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't, and if I did, I probably wouldn't tell you, but it does nothing, because like, I could tell you that I'd read a fella's hips or something like that, or I could read a fella's eyes or whatever like that, but it's happening so quickly, like, you know, the slitter is picked up and the slitter is struck at such venom and pace and stuff like that, that you just basically trying to react as fast as you can, and if it's into the corner, there's nothing a goalie can do, I don't think, unless he has guessed good and early, because the ball is travelling at such force, you know. So I suppose you're just trying to just be light on your toes you possibly can, and just try and, you know, it's like a reaction save. If you ever make a save and someone says, what's in your head? The best saves you make, there's nothing in your head because you're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about something, your body has to react to it. So you're just trying to clear your head as much as you can and just hopefully your body will take you there. But as I said, look, I probably should say one. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask.
It's one of the most mental positions in world sport. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's right up there. Yeah. I mean,
wanting to be hit by a slitter.
Yeah. Like if one came at me, it would take me a lot of practice not to flinch every time and try and protect myself every time. How much does it hurt when you get one in the shoulder or the neck or the stomach?
It depends when you get it. Like if it's in championship, it's just adrenaline.
Yeah, you don't feel a thing.
You don't feel it like until maybe the next morning or something like that. But in training, it hurts a lot, like, because you might be trying to do what you're doing and maybe get out of the way and say good strike to your forward and something like that. But like it is really does depend on when you get it. Like Jesus,
do you wear padding in training?
Yeah, I do.
Most lads do that now.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of goalkeepers would. Like
and not was
like
that the thing 10 years ago? Padding.
I don't know. No, yeah, like, you know, I suppose you hear a lot of goalkeepers getting hit, and, you know, in certain areas, like, and, you know, unfortunately, like, they've, you know, lost testicles and stuff over that thing as well, like, which is horrendous, like, you know.
My God.
But sure, the slitter is travelling so fast and everything like that it's still, like, you know, like, the helmet is one thing, like, but I've heard of goalkeepers put on, you know, I haven't now personally, but put on, like, you know, kind of like hockey gear and get fellas shooting closer to practice their reactions and stuff. And like we use tennis balls at training before as well for close in shots, that if it did hit off you, you're still practicing your reflections, but your reflex, but you're not getting hurt when it hits you and things like that, because you have to be conscious that when you're in championship, like I said, you're willing the slitter to hit you at any occasion, at any time, to do anything, you know.
No part of you is thinking, and it doesn't even cross your mind.
Just because you, like, first of all, you haven't time to think, and second of all, you're just literally trying to get in the way of the ball. You're just doing everything you possibly can to get in the way of the ball, helmet, head, the whole lot, hands, body, anything at all, if you can deflect it wide. And like a fella said to me, you know, Ron O'Corn actually said it to a fella, he said, like, I think I made a save in a game or something, and Corn, that's his job. And it is. It's a goalkeeper's job, you know. And look, you can be considered to be mental or, you know, crazy or whatever like that. It's our job to try and make saves, and they're not all with the hurley, like, if you can get your toe to it. Like a training last year or 2 years ago, Pat Collins, the other goalkeeper in our panel, broke my toe with a shot.
Oh.
You know, and so, like, it was just a ball that slid and bounced before and hit it. Like, no, he's a fantastic strike of a ball. Like, but these things happen. But, you know, if that happened in a game and deflected wide, you'd be delighted.
Yeah.
But it's just really where you're at in training and stuff. And you're supposed to, like, the one thing you try and do in training is try and mimic championship mode, that you don't mind getting hit there either.
But it's hard on a January Tuesday.
Night, absolutely. You know, but look, in fairness, when you're in a game in training as well, you're trying to get in competitive because you don't want the forwards having a slag over you either. You left in a hole or of a goal or a bad goal. So you do try and mimic what you're trying to do, because what you take to the training field, you'll hopefully take the championship. So if you're in a good frame of mind and you're, you know, even pulling off one good save of training will kind of maybe stick in your head for the next match, you know.
And can you use other sports as an inspiration? Like, I always think the Schmeichel starfish jump.
Yeah.
Do you use stuff like
definitely,
that?
Definitely, yeah. Like, it was actually, we played Fitzgibbon back in 2000, which is a long time ago, we won a Fitzgibbon, and I think the commentator, I made a save like that. And it was just like, you know, he said, it was in Irish, like, so he said very similar to Peter Schmeichel, you know. And it was just, but that was, like, he was my idol growing up. I'm a Man United fan, and I played in goals for soccer as well and stuff like that. And it wasn't that I premeditated the move. It was just, he just came out trying to make himself as big as possible. I play golf, so I would be able to kind of bring a lot of that to my striking, you know what I mean? For puckouts and stuff like that, I try and just see what I can learn to maybe, you know, to do for puckouts. Now, there's an awful lot you can take, but you can take one or two things. You can understand how the ball spins or whatever like that.
The spin is all important in golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, so...
And does it, you know, if you, you know, amateurs put too much spin on a golf ball, that's why it doesn't go very far. That's why it hooks or slices. Very similar with a slitter.
Oh, very, like, into
you're
the
trying
wind
to get
there.
Spin on a slitter.
Absolutely, like, if you into the wind for puckouts, especially, like, you know, or free takers and stuff like that, if you slice down the back of the ball, it's just rising into the wind like you would as a golf ball off the tee and stuff like that. Like, so I love golf and I played a lot of it, so I kind of would have maybe bits and pieces other sports. As I said, I would have played in goals for soccer then as well, and bits and pieces in Gaelic football, so like I kind of would have looked at maybe training drills more than you know, and, you know, positioning of bodies and things like that. Would be a big thing for me as well. So, but just there, the other things I would have kind of learned from other things, really. Yeah.
Because if you think of a well struck, we'll use a Manchester United example, a Paul Scholes volley, and it just rifles in, and then you watch the replay, the ball isn't actually spinning a lot of the time. You're seeing the logo the whole way in, and it's because he's caught it so
definitely
sweet.
Like, look, and that's the thing, it's the same with golf, it's the same with hurling, it's just, you know, a well struck free, like, even though, like, you can strike a pass, you can hear the fizz of a slitter flying sometimes, but like, even when you strike a good shot or anything like that, or a good puck out, you know, the ball is revolving, but you're trying to take as much spin out of it as you possibly can, maybe. But look, there's different ways of doing it, like, and I'm sure there's, you know, however many other goalkeepers in the country have all got their own technique. We all strike it a different way. We all strike one hand on top, the other hand on top, right-handed, left-handed. So there's loads of different things. But I strike the ball the same way as I would in a golf course.
Right.
So right hand on top of the hurley. So I would take a lot of kind of, you know, and I'm left-sided. So.
Okay.
So I would actually have the golf grip in hurling.
So you're cack-handed from a hurling point of view.
I have right hand on top and I'm striking left-sided. So it's actually the right way to hold the hurley, but I should be right-sided predominantly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's perfect for golf, like if you're Phil Mickelson way, you know, right on top and golf that way. So, but yeah, so I suppose that would be the one sport I take a lot from.
Okay. You know, we've seen what Cloakston has done in football, and like, in fairness, Don Logue back in the day, we've seen what Cork have done from puckouts. How much more demand is on you from a puckout point of view now in comparison when you started, or is it pretty similar?
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot. Like, you kind of try and study the game. Last year, there was a lot spoken about puckouts and stuff like that, and the weeded strategy, this, that, and the other. We didn't really, like, it was just that we tried to take the best option at any time.
So you're not calling preordained moves necessarily?
No, it's virtually impossible in hurling to do so. Like, no, look, I've been involved in teams before that had signals and things like that, like at club level, county level, or college level and stuff like that, and look, you know, it is tough, because especially, you know, with the scrutiny of, you know, statistics guys from other teams and stuff like that, then as well. So, like, we just looked at it last year and felt that it wasn't off the cuff per se, but it was just, if the lads saw space, we tried to go into it and try and hit it and things like that. Or
Keno Sullivan was in, and the Dublin footballers, obviously everyone's trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And he was saying, we don't really, because when the ball goes dead, you don't know where everyone's going to be.
Absolutely.
That's the big issue. Like, if it's a set play in NFL, you know, you can line up in a certain way. But in football, if your man's the guy who scored, you could be in the corner back position, or you could be literally 60 yards away and there's no predicting where you're going
to
be.
It, like, because, you know, you can't say that you have a guy ready to do this, whatever, because you said, like, he could be after chasing a guy back forward.
Yeah. So you're just reactive, get your head up.
That's it, and just try and make the best decision, like, really, you know, and that's honestly it. Like, and I know teams will probably, people say, hear this and say, look, no, it's not, they're doing something else, we're not, like, you know, and Kieran openly said it last year as well, like, when he was our manager. So, but it's just, look, just to try and keep evolving and improving it, really. Like.
Last question then, really, is about the year ahead. So I presume you've got an All-Ireland final this weekend, but then get back involved with Cork in the league. And then I was looking at your round-robin schedule. I mean, it's unbelievable, really. I mean, there are issues with people say the whole thing's too congested, but you look at it and there's some unbelievable games. So here you go, week after week after week. You've Cork at home to Clare, then you're away to Tip, then you're at home to Limerick, then you draw breath for a week, and then you're away to Waterford. So do you love the sound of that? Is this just perfect?
I think I think it was the GPA or the GA asked a few years ago to kind of do a survey, and they asked players what they wanted, and I suppose it came back resoundingly, we wanted more games.
Yeah.
But we want more games in the summer, and that's what we've been given, you know, and that's it. Like, before, you'd have been looking at the draw and you'd have said you'd have drawn Tipperary, Clare, Limerick, whoever, like that, in a once-off game, and you'd been built up for that. But no, we have to go week and week and week. It's very similar to a league campaign again, you know. It's like having two leagues, really, you know, in a way, because you're playing everybody, and in it breaks onto the whatever the All-Ireland series. I'm not overly familiar with that, but it's great. I when it first came out, I was asked what did I think about it, and I said, look, games are fantastic. I said it's absolutely brilliant. The one thing I would like to say, though, is that for the support of numbers, I hope that the ticket prices are, you know, reflected in that, because, like, it's a huge day out for people, and, you know, a lot of expense for families of four and families of five and things like that.
What would your Munster ticket cost a lot of families last year?
I don't know, it was around €30, €30 something, maybe, or something like that. I'm not too familiar with that, no, to be honest, but, like,
so if you've got four guaranteed games, that adds up quickly with the family.
Yeah, it does, of course, and travelling, like, as you said, we're away there for a few games in as well, like, you know, and but, like, I just think that I hope it doesn't take away from the attendances, and I don't think it will either, because I think people love travelling to the hurling and football, you know, and supporting us and stuff like that. But I just think it's
a good point. I hadn't actually heard anyone make that point. It's a good one, and there must be some way. I mean, I don't know if they can get it ready for this year, but down the line, some kind of monster season ticket where you say, I'll go to all four games.
And that'd be brilliant, like, because it would take a lot of pressure off people as well at the moment, you know. No, look, it's not, like, I suppose if you're looking at the actual campaign itself, you know, as a player's perspective, I think I'm 99% positive I'd love it, you know. I like the idea. I just think if you pick up an injury during that campaign, I think it's going to be very hard for someone to come back in again. But like, I suppose it's like any campaign. If you play Tipperary and lost at Tipperary near the back door, you could be gone within 3 or 4 weeks anyway. So it's, you know, nothing. But I just hope that, you know, that the outfielders especially will be able to recover. And it's going to be all about recovery. It's not going to be about training. It's going to be game on game on game. Which is what we asked for, and I'm delighted we got it. But again, it's just, it's going to take a year or two to bed in, and hopefully, and it'll be a positive, because it is leading to some unbelievable games, like, you know. And I suppose, you know, the only thing you, every game is going to be competitive, like, you know.
Sure, you're a goalkeeper, you can play two in a day. That's you know,
very good.
And then last one, John Myler's come in. I know you worked with him for Fitzgibbon. So Cork had a great year in many ways, to jog people's memory. Munster champions, and not many people were talking about Cork in that breath beforehand, but Munster champions, and then this horrible, I presume, 5 week wait, 5 week wait for the Waterford semi-final, and done. So John Myler's come in now. 2017 in comparison to 2016 is a good season. Where do Cork have to improve? What's missing? How do you bridge that extra gap?
If that's a good question, like, you know, it's if we're working on it, we're working on it every day, training. The one thing, you're just after reading out a campaign to me there that we're going to be going into the summer. We also have another 4 league games to go. Potentially, hopefully, a qualifier one, or hopefully not, a relegation one. So you've got another, what is it, 6-7 weeks of hurling of games and something like that before you even look at the championship. So I just think what we're trying to do is just be competitive in the league. Good performances. It's an unbelievably competitive league. Like, you know, to get 2 points against, you know, in your first home game last year was brilliant for us. And but unfortunately, that's all it is. So we're going to try and push on. Where to improve? Look, you can improve in everything. I think the learnings we took from 16 to 17 definitely benefited us. And I think the learnings from 17 to 18, hopefully we will as well. Know there's more positives, obviously. You know, a lot of the younger panel, you know, came in and showed that they were able to do it. And we had a few new guys making their debuts again the last day, and a few lads that were on the panel last year that didn't see much game time. Got a game against Kilkenny. So, look, you're constantly trying to improve. There's obviously a big gap. What we did last year wasn't good enough. You know, to take us all the way. So look, the one thing I'm going to say is that we will be trying to just every single day in training grind out something new, whatever it is. You know, it could be something tiny that can make a huge difference or anything like that. As I said, be competitive in the league is a big thing for us. I think it'd be it'd be good just to kind of, like, it's performances really in the league I'd kind of look at. You know, if you're like, in 2013 we were relegated in the league, and sure, at the end of that, the only Limerick people were saying we were gone, and, you know, this, that and the other, and next we were in an All-Ireland final a couple of months later. But the one thing about that league was we were competitive in every game.
Okay.
We weren't hammered in any game, you know what I mean? So we put in solid performances, and we just picked one or two things from the league that we felt didn't go well and took them into championship. Unfortunately, we got all the way and look close to going over the line. So that's what we're going to try and do.
Good.
Concentrate in the next game, so hopefully.
Yeah, okay. Well, the best of luck of it. Look with it all. You're suddenly one of the lads on the team. Which,
the old lad, yeah.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest, yeah. Okay. Well, Cadigan came in this year to try and bring up the age. I'm still the oldest, yeah.
Okay, well, you're probably 2 years away from your peak at 33 in a goalkeeper, no?
Please God, please God.
Best of luck with the season. Thanks so much for coming in, Anthony Nash.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.